our subject is based on the title. We'll get to that in a minute. But the subject is really communication. And it's communication as it relates to us, as we relate to one another in the house of God. A means whereby we can plot our, let's say, Christian progress, or at what point we find ourselves in our course as a Christian, based upon our communication traits. How well or how we communicate with other people. And we're not talking simply about speaking one to another. We're talking about the real communicate, which is why we use the term autonomy. Because we think this term best describes the concept which we're trying to convey, or which we hope to be able to convey in this. You'll notice that we have something up here on the board, which we'll get to in a few minutes. And those slips of paper that we handed around, what we're going to do, the slip of paper that you got has a description of a communication trait in our Christian character. And what I'd like you to do is take whatever you've got, and we're going to be asking you to try to come up with an example of this kind of a communication trait. If you have any problems, we'll kind of, I've got some things sketched down here, but perhaps you can come up with some, some good ideas on these things, and we'll try to form some guidelines on how we can rate ourselves based upon how we communicate with other people, with other Christians especially.
Our theme text is 1 Corinthians, the 12th chapter, verses 12 through 27. It's a very familiar scripture, so we won't read it. But this is a scripture, this is the passage, right after the part dealing with the gifts of the Spirit, that talks about unity, unity in the body of Christ. And it talks about the several members that are composed in the body, and how that although the body has one and many members, that all are really members of the same body. And then goes on to describe, Paul goes on to describe the various parts of the human body, and likens these to the body of Christ. And we think this passage best describes what we're trying to accomplish here. In verse 27 he says, "Now you are the body of Christ, and individually members of it." But this best describes what we would, how we are going to define autonomy. The title really seems kind of frivolous, because usually we think of autonomy as a group of people governing themselves, as we speak of our individual ecclesias as being autonomous, governing their own policies, making their own policies, determining the course themselves. But our purpose is to relate autonomy not so much to individual classes, but to the entire household of God. We want to define autonomous from this scripture that we have in 1 Corinthians, the 12th chapter. We think that this passage gives us some good guidelines into a proper definition of autonomy. The first thing you'll notice as you read the passage, Paul says, the body is made up of many members. You've got, number one, you've got to be aware. You've got to be aware that there are other members in the body, that there are many needs besides your own, and that there are many services besides the services you could perform. That's the first stage in recognizing and effectively communicating with each other. The second thing, which he tries to accomplish in this passage, we think, is fact he says you've got to be spontaneous. By spontaneous, we don't mean the quick, behavior where you jump up and say, "Yeah, I know the answer." Not that kind of spontaneous. If you look at the real meaning of the word spontaneous, it means an appropriate natural behavior, something that it becomes a part of you, a behavior that you do because that's your nature. That's the second thing, to be spontaneous. The third thing he tries to accomplish in this passage, say that we must be intimate with each other. We have to be able to relate with one another. If the nose itches, we have to have a hand that will scratch it. He likens this in the human body. So likewise, we are to fulfill each other's needs as far as our Christian character goes, as far as our role and the body of Christ. So those three things, we think, define the autonomy which we're talking about as it relates to communication. First, to be aware. Second, to be spontaneous. And third, to be intimate. So, to sum it up, the definition we could accomplish or could derive from this is we're going to define autonomy as becoming whole together. That's really what the body of Christ is all about. It's many members, and we're all becoming whole members together. So that's the way we want to define it, as becoming whole together. And autonomy, this becoming whole together, is achieved through how well we can relate one to another, how well we can communicate. And by communication, remember, we want to interchange this with autonomy. It's more than just speaking. It's how you react to other members in the body. Ephesians 4:29 is a good example. Now this relates mainly to talk. It says, "Let no evil talk come out of your mouths, but only such as is good for edifying, as fits the occasion, that it may impart grace to those who hear." We think covered in this area of communication is more than just the actual speaking, but it's talking about feelings also. In Luke 6:45, we have the words of Jesus. He says, "The good man out of the good treasure of his heart produces good, and the evil man out of the evil treasure produces evil. For out of the abundance of the heart his mouth speaks." So communication, as it relates to each other, is more than just how you speak one with another. It's how you feel about each other and what feelings others spring within you. It's how comfortable we might be with each other outside of our main sphere of relationship, which is within the class. How well do you feel about others outside when you meet them outside of the class relationship? What kind of communication problems do you feel in yourself? Or do you notice any communication traits that shouldn't be there as it relates from one Christian to another? This is what we want to determine. And so we can judge our progress as far as what kind of communication we should have, what our feelings should be towards each other. You know, the importance of communication, I guess, is kind of described in a story about the Old West. The fact that we must communicate with each other to really accomplish what we've got to accomplish as Christians in fulfilling our role as a member in the body of Christ. There's a story that there was when they were laying the railroads in the Old West, there was an old miner, or not, the old foreman on this group of men laying railroad. And they came to a rather large mountain, okay, and trying to decide how they were going to best, you know, accomplish the task of cutting through the mountain. And the foreman lined up the two crews. He lined up his crew, put them for him. He says, "Okay," he says, "one half of you start on the west side of the mountain. The other half of you start on the east side of the mountain. If you meet in the middle, you've dug a tunnel. If you don't, you've dug two tunnels." So, you know, this is the way we can be. We can either dig one tunnel together, or we can dig two tunnels separately. And our goal as members in the body of Christ in communicating with each other is to build that one tunnel. And that's how we achieve it, is through our relationship with each other. So we want to talk about how we develop autonomy and examples of effective types of communication traits that tell us we're on the right course as far as relating to other members of the body. We recognize that Jesus really related well to whoever he met. He knew all his disciples. He knew their feelings, he knew their fears, he knew their needs, he knew their wants, and he was able to communicate with them on that basis. And that's really the ideal for us, is to understand each member of the body, what they need, how they feel, so that we accomplish more than just talking to each other, but we can relate to each other's feelings. So we think that we are able, or we can, judge our progress as far as a developing our part in the body of Christ by looking at how well we communicate with fellow members. And communion is really a basic word of communicate. We're all familiar with that. Of sharing together, a common union together. That's really what the issue is in communication. So by judging our communion one with each other, our communication, we can tell how far we progress towards achieving this autonomy that we define from 1 Corinthians 12. We're going to do this by constructing, we can call it a graph, to plot various communication traits that we might have and show which are good, which are bad, which do not accomplish the goal of relating one with another. You know, as we develop as Christians, we develop in two ways. The first way we develop is within ourselves. We develop ourselves in the body of Christ as we relate to Christ. We also develop as relating to each other. So Paul sums it by saying we're all individually members, but then we're all one body. We've got two fights. We've got a fight to progress ourselves, and we've got a fight to progress in our relationship with others that are also in this in the Christian way. So we're going to put a graph up here, and we're going to put various aspects of our communication traits within this. But you know, as far as our progressing ourselves, we can define it in two ways. Either we're stout or we're fragile. And by stout, we don't mean fat. Okay? Stout really means the ability to endure stress. It's, you can endure pain, hard use, without being able to give way. That's how we achieve ourselves. That's a personal development within ourselves. And fragile, well, I guess anybody that works at the post office can best define that. But it's, you know, unable to resist any kind of rough usage. And if you'll think about yourself or about others that you may know, we can see that, you know, we can rate ourselves as to how we stand at various points by where we are. If we have the ability to endure stress, to endure hardship, or if we're fragile, if we don't have that ability, if we're unable to resist rough usage. That's our relationship with ourselves. Then there's a relationship with others, which is just as integral part of this. And that, towards others, we're either warm or hostile. Now we're talking about extremes here, but we hope to identify some of these terms as we go along, as we plot the various points on here. But warm best describes itself, I guess this is in relation with others, the fact that we're infused with love for one another, that we're able to accomplish this in others to give them a feeling of love. And hostile really relates the fact that we're not readily receptive to other people. We haven't been able to accomplish this as it relates to other people, to able to overcome whatever in ourselves. And we have hostile traits towards other people. And we'll get into this as we plot the various points in the graph. In this graph, as we plot different characteristics within it, we will see how various communication traits fit in. I'm going to call this Q1, this Q2, Q3, and Q4. And I hope we can have a little workshop here with these various slips that we passed out. Uh-huh. want to look at some of the communication traits. And if you have the slip with this trait on it, I hope you'd be able to give an example of how you think this would be evident in anyone that has this, that relates in this way, how it would show itself. Remember, we're not talking about merely speaking with each other. We're talking about feelings one towards each other. The first thing we find, we're talking, now we're going to be working around the graph here. We have a communication trait of arguing. Very common. Happens every day with people all over. But how does this manifest, would you say, in the body of Christ? How could we have this kind of a feeling? Who had the slip argue? What do you think, Lauren? Well, let's say if you judge someone as being argumentative, what would you say the main reason why would you judge them that way? Something has got to lead you to the point of saying this person is argumentative, or this person argues. Maybe I can start off with the first couple here so you can get an idea of what we're driving. But we often find, maybe in ourselves, maybe we're not trying to judge others, although the title is judging autonomy. But the fact that we may come to the point where we actually see someone disagrees with everything. It doesn't matter who it is or what it is, their own feelings, their own personal stance is preferable to anyone else. It's an argumentative attitude, an attitude that doesn't really have a place in the body of Christ. But if we would find ourselves, you know, we can't ever agree with anybody. We can't agree with maybe what they say, how they live, what they do. It really means that we have this kind of feeling as far as our relationship with other people. The fact that our communication trait is that we argue, and it will be manifest in how we relate in speaking terms with one another. What it indicates, it indicates that we may have a real zeal. We may have progressed ourselves as far as being able to stand up. Because anyone that usually is argumentative, they're very sure of themselves, aren't they? They're also hostile. They haven't accomplished that relationship, that intimate relationship with other members in the body of Christ that would prevent them from assuming this kind of communication trait. Along the same line, we have on the other case, we have a communication of being withdrawn. It relates to arguing only in almost the opposite way. We find ourselves, or we may find, we have no opinions on anything. We don't really, know in the end what we believe, because we never really talk about it. We never speak about it. We never make it known to anyone else. We really have no points of truth that we can offer our opinions on. And we have no opinions on anything. What this indicates is the fact that a person still has not accomplished this attitude of getting over hostility towards people. They can't relate with other members if they feel this way, that they don't want to offer. They don't want to relate. They really have no opinions about things. And they're really, it indicates some fragility as far as being able to develop within ourselves. Because if we're strong, we have to develop along the lines of being able to form a stand of our own, of being an individual member as well as a member in the body. The term meanders is one maybe we don't see too often. But I think it kind of identifies the point of when anything really comes up that would call on us to form an opinion or gather an opinion, we find ourselves meandering. The fact that, rambling on about other things that aren't really related to the particular discussion, a particular trait, a particular issue, if you want to call it. It indicates that we have a warm feeling towards others. The fact that, you know, we want to relate with others, but we haven't really accomplished something. We haven't accomplished something within ourselves that will allow us to relate in a pertinent way. We haven't accomplished becoming a stout person, of being able to relate in a manner that will explain, to clarify. And so we find that the best, or the proper one, would indicate we are able to communicate, we are able for ourselves to relate as an individual and also relate to others. The fact that we can solicit opinions from others. We care about what other people think. We're concerned that other people are able to voice, that we understand what they actually feel. That's a communication trait of soliciting opinion. It indicates the fact that we're zealous enough towards the truth, towards the Christian goal. That's another term, you know, this can be related to zeal. Zeal is the purpose in seeking after a task. We can find ourselves soliciting opinions. We're concerned with what other people think. Okay, so I hope you kind of get the feeling of what we're trying to do here. We're trying to plot this in different areas so we can see all these traits are related to one another, but they throw a little different light on something. They can see how our attitude is almost just the opposite of soliciting opinion. It doesn't mean we're given any way, but it just means that we're concerned, that we understand one another, and that we're able to relate with them. We don't shut them off. Another trait which we have, or it's one perhaps is all too common, is intimidate. Anybody draw that slip on intimidate? Would you like to see if you could give an example of what that might be? Okay, right. It's an attitude of striking back. But it doesn't necessarily mean, you know, when someone says something, boy, you know, we jump on it. It can be an attitude of dismissing things because of a particular person, because of a prejudice. A prejudice that they're inexperienced. You know, well, what do you know? You're young. You know. Or you're inexperienced. It's an intimidating attitude. It's an attitude that leads us to shut our minds off to other members in the body of Christ. They may have valid opinions, valid beliefs, but we shut them off through an intimidating attitude, to not really listening to them because maybe, you know, maybe they belong to a different movement than we do. Maybe they're in another phase of the Bible student movement. Maybe they're young. Maybe they're new. And all these things, if we find ourselves dismissing their beliefs or casting them out from our own realm of relationship because of their inexperience or because of any of these things, it means that this is where we have to plot ourselves. Intimidation, the fact that we are zealous enough ourselves in pursuit, but we're hostile towards others. We haven't accomplished that in relation again. Next, along the same line, we have a case, another very common case, of avoiding disagreement. Very easy to do. Who had that one? Can you give it, think of an example there? Okay. We can think of many things. Sometimes we'll let things slip by without really trying to communicate with someone about them. Remarks, whatever, to avoid getting into any kind of a discussion about it. And now, you know, when there's a great deal of widespread belief throughout the truth movement, various aspects, we can find that all too prevalent, that we may avoid disagreement. And it means, perhaps, we're plotting ourselves in this area, that we might have a fear within ourselves, along this particular line, that makes us fragile. But it also indicates that we're not really relating to that particular person. We may be hostile towards them. And on the other hand, we can have the agreeable. Anybody draw that one? Can you think of an example there?
It may be, you are one for each other, but you may tend to agree to avoid conflict. I think that's indicated by where the spot is at. It, in those terms, then may involve compromise.
Right.
This is to remain one for the person.
Interesting. Because the truth compromise will be involved as we get down. That's a good observation. So you can see kind of how this works, that we find ourselves not able to overcome ourselves along this line. We find ourselves being agreeable. We find ourselves, you know, for the sake of avoiding any entanglement, but we have a warm feeling towards that person, so we become agreeable. And this doesn't mean a particular person. It can be the whole body, you know. Yeah.
This is warm.
Right. Okay.
What's the best thing we can have? Clarify.
Anybody draw that one? Can you think of an example there, Merle? Right. That's a good example. We attempt to define things. We attempt to define, okay, instead of merely dismissing things, we attempt to define them so that we can properly understand ourselves and relate to that person in a warm way. So we can accomplish our communication with that person. We need to clarify what they feel, how they feel. It's an important thing. Another three. Skeptical or critical. Right? Who drew this one? You may draw this one. Okay. Can you think of this? I think that's a valid point. In fact, again, it's very closely related with intimidating. The fact that we can dismiss something because of our own self is so set that we haven't really accomplished our relationship with others. So because of ourselves, we find a hostile attitude displaying itself in skepticism, criticism. And we find continually along that line the fact that we don't have accomplished. And as we go around, we'll see develop the correct attitude towards this particular point. In this area, it can be mechanical. Anybody have that one? Okay. Any ideas on that? That's kind of a tough one. Yeah. Right. Right. It's kind of a, you know, we go along, oh, gee, you know, that's too bad. I really sympathize with you. You know, it's the thing to say. And we find ourselves in a mechanical way saying, thank you, please. You know, it's like coming in the morning, you come over, you might as well come and say 57, 34. Just that type of thing can become so mechanical within ourselves that we forget we're supposed to be warm. We're relating with these other people. It indicates a hostile attitude, an attitude where we aren't really relating to people along that line.
made into this also?
Smooth over a conflict. Okay, what do you think about that?
Your Honor, I can't, it may go even the opposite. We may dismiss a truth as unimportant or a belief as unimportant, be able to be agreeable, be able to get it. And that's an indication that we really haven't developed ourselves to the point along this line that we should, because smoothing over a conflict accomplishes nothing. It doesn't solve the conflict. But we can smooth over it, and it tends to lead ourselves farther away from gaining and self-development. So I think an example of that would be, you know, dismissing a particular truth as unimportant to accomplish, you know, getting along. Is that the ideal communication trait along this line? To be able to summarize.
What do you think that one means, Phil?
Okay, to make points known and to make all points known. Remember, we're relating with others. To summarize a particular thing, to fit all points into the plan. Saying, instead of dismissing something, being skeptical or critical, we can summarize.
We can say, we can fit it in with whatever we know and attempt to accomplish the same thing.
Only now we're indicating that we are receptive towards people, but we want to indicate as far as ourselves of being able to fit that in to our particular beliefs, our particular feelings.
So a summarizing, a communication trait called summarize, would mean that we're able to fit everyone's points in and look at them and able to accomplish the task
then of what's involved, clarifying,
not of being critical, not of relating to other people. Next. Overwhelmed. Who drew that one? Gretchen? Oh. Anybody an idea on overwhelms?
Right.
It's an overwhelming attitude, and it's obvious sometimes we can,
it's a little thing of trying to raise our voice up to accomplish something. No, it's not emphasis, but it's an overwhelming. It's something that indicates,
or it can be manifest in other ways. Identifying ourselves with a particular, you know, it can be a more subtle way of identifying our belief with a particular, what we would term, you know, a truth scholar. Someone who is very admiring of truth. Say, well, you know, that's the way they believe, and I believe it. It's an overwhelming attitude. I mean, what can you say? You know, Jesus, you know, Carl Hagen doesn't believe that way. And that can be overwhelming. I mean, it can shut a person off from any further investigation themselves.
So we've got to watch ourselves along this line,
not develop an attitude that overwhelms. But we can also
hide an opinion.
Okay?
Don't say a person. This
okay.
is a trait.
This is a trait where an individual has no opinion about anything, or has one, but he refers, he dismisses making himself know what he believes or what that means.
Okay.
We can leave doubt as to how we feel or how we relate. It indicates that we not really want to be very intimate with this person. So we hide our opinion. We might never really offer it. We might not say anything about it, or we hide it
amidst other words. And that can be damaging too, because it indicates we're fragile along whatever particular line this is, whatever we might be talking about. It indicates, you know, we're fragile to the point where, you know, we don't want to have anything to do with anybody because we're afraid. It indicates a position of maybe fear. So that's not the ideal view. Okay? Phrase might be loose or vague. Anybody have that one? Okay, maybe nobody did. I got, yeah, that's in here. Okay, loose or vague. Never really arriving at any kind of a conclusion. You know, we want to say something because we want to let people know, you know. But we never really let them know what we think. We're loose, we're vague, you know. Pardon me? That's a good example. Politicians. They're loose, they're vague, okay. You're just as confused maybe before as after. So that's not really that. But it indicates the position, as I say, of wanting to relate to people, but not having accomplished something within yourself along this line that will lead you to be able to communicate with them effectively. So what's the best one? Being candid or open. Okay, any ideas there? Okay. I can see what you're saying. Now, maybe the definition comes in candid. The real concept of candid is the fact that you're receptive. You're open to other people, to new other ideas. You have a candid or open attitude. It doesn't mean that you really might remark on certain people, but it means that in your statement, in your communication, you can be candid. You can relate with them. And be open to them, to what they say, what they feel, rather than hiding their opinion, rather than being loose or vague, rather than overwhelming. Another one. Another trait. Be flexible.
I'm sitting here wondering which side you put that on. You could put it on either side. Yeah. I had a
which side? Here or here?
Yeah, I had a beautiful picture to the other side.
Well, what do you think about inflexible, Edgar?
No, on this side, the one that you have it on, it could be a matter. Your will is a matter. You're not going to be flexible, whatever it is you're discussing or whatever the communication is. I'm right, regardless, and we're going to leave it at that. There's no flexibility in yours.
Okay, let's put it this way.
I'm going to ask you, what color ball do you see?
White and black.
Okay, I mean, just ignore the middle part.
Okay.
What color do you see?
White and blue.
I see green.
Well, it is on the other side.
You see, this is the point of being inflexible. Edgar could sit there and argue all day that this ball is white. And he's right. But I could sit here and say, it's green. What's the point? We both saw what color. We both said what color we saw. But we could never really agree that the color was both white and green unless I knew how he was looking at it, unless he knew my point of view. And so, you know, a lot of disagreement could be settled if people would look at both sides of the ball. If they would not be inflexible, and no matter what you say or no matter what you do, there's no change. There can't be any. Because it indicates that you're so sold on yourself or on your particular attitude that you're becoming hostile towards others. It indicates the fact that you've got to look at your relationship with other people and along with them. Okay. Okay.
We'll give you a chance to do your stuff. Next time, I do. All right.
How about down on this side? Procrastinate. Okay, who's got that one?
We all do.
What do you think about that one? Okay, how about its relations with other people? So we're not talking about, you know, we might have a task to do and we put it off. What about it, procrastination as a communication trait? Okay, we never really do something, you know, to accomplish where we would be able to relate with other people. We keep putting off something, you know, to accomplish, to bring ourselves up to the point where we can become intimate with other people about something. So we can procrastinate. It indicates the fact that we really aren't developed enough ourselves, we haven't accomplished something towards zeal along this line, to be able to want to relate with the other people. Like the man that he put on a burst of speed, you know, to try to catch the bus. And he just missed it. You know, some way he was standing there and said to him, "Boy, if you could have just run a little faster, you'd have made it." And the guy said, "No, it wasn't a question of running faster, it's a question of starting sooner." And that's the way it can be with us. We can be so bound up, you know, we gotta hurry up and try to get this done or to be able to get something. Able to relate on something that we, it's really a question of taking the time to get this thing accomplished so that we can relate with other people along this line. Not this one. Okay. Compromise. Who drew that one? Anybody draw that one? Okay, Gene, what do you think about this one? Okay, giving in part is not completed. How is this evident in communication? Well, it can be evident the fact that we avoid certain areas. In fact, we compromise our own personal standpoint because we avoid certain areas because we know, you know, somebody might not feel the same way. Somebody might not think that way. It indicates the fact that we want to relate with other people. We want to be intimate. But yet, for ourselves, we haven't developed the proper zeal to be stout in that particular area. To be able to relate with them in a way that will accomplish a task of helping each other in the body of Christ. So what do we want to do? What's the ideal truth along this line? The ideal trait, to explore the disagreement. We had this one. Okay, how could we evidence that in our communication?
If it's done ideal, there are two ways of doing it. Unfortunately, the wrong way is usually done. The wrong way is to explore everything that supports your own viewpoint and ignore the other. But if you're really exploring the disagreement, you're exploring both sides of it and giving honest weight to both sides of it.
Okay. Good point, because the first one you mentioned is really this inflexible. And if you're zealous enough that you've got support, but you've got support for only yourself, you're not able to relate with another view. The first one that Bonnie mentioned. So the ideal one, to explore, to be able to look at both sides and yet not feel yourself swayed because you are stout enough, you have accomplished enough self-development along this line that you can explore that disagreement, relate with the other members, and relate with yourself and with your position in the body of Christ.
The thing is, the last one that we're running out of room. 12th, disagreement. That's our one here. I don't think anybody drew that one.
Got that one here. Hitler. Okay, there's a good example of squelching disagreement. You know, we can do that by disfellowshipping or isolating ourselves from others that we know hold differing views. That's the way to solve disagreement. Well, this is the case. Maybe if you look at others and see it, look at yourself too. See if you can see it in yourself. Hopefully, we can see some of these in everybody. Because, that's what these communication traits, everybody has got some of these. And most people have stuff in all categories until we reach the point where we're overcoming. But so that's the way we can solve disagreement, merely by avoiding or disfellowshipping, not actually coming up on it, but just find ourselves along that communication line. And that's the way we can squelch disagreement. Never have to disagree with anyone. That indicates that we're hostile. We're hostile towards the brethren, towards the fellow members in the body of Christ. Or, might be indifferent. Who's got that one? Okay, how would that be evidenced in communication? Right.
It's better to be hot or cold in the Lord's sight, but because you're indifferent or lukewarm, the Lord doesn't want anything to do with the person.
Right. We can see we really haven't accomplished ourselves along that line. We haven't accomplished ourselves to be able to relate with others along that line. We've become indifferent to everything. We really don't care one way or the other. Let's just go ahead and get on. We really don't care. And it indicates a position, as Ralph says, of not developing along the line of being zealous, of becoming lukewarm or even worse than that. Then, perhaps not being indifferent. We can seek approval. Okay, we seek the approval of others. We want to relate with others in the body of Christ, and that's important to us, to be able to relate with them. But we relate to the point where we lack ourselves, developing ourselves to the line of being able to give them input, to be able to comment and help them rather than have them help us. Very possible. It could come along that line of wanting to get along with everybody, wanting to be popular, have everybody look up. It indicates the fact that no matter who you are, you're not going to be that way in everything because you're fragile. You haven't developed yourself. You're unable to stand up to stress. And so you've come into this position of seeking approval. What's the ideal? Seek consensus. Who's got that one? Okay. Okay. It's right. Something which is going to be beneficial to everyone. We're viewing what is the most beneficial to the whole house of God. Another word for consensus is solidarity. We're seeking to accomplish solidarity along a particular line. So we're seeking the consensus on the matter. Be able to relate with others, but still maintain our personal zeal for the Lord, our personal development, and our relationship to the Lord, and yet still seeking our relationship with others. That's the last point as far as that area goes. We want to try to sum up each one in these areas and give a couple of final scriptures on these. Let's look first at the one we called Q1. What are the traits there? What's the theme? The theme, we could say, is competition. As you look at all those traits, person feeling in this, or falling in this category, and and communication, views the course that they are running as a race. They're competing against other Christians to receive this crown at the end. It indicates that you really aren't properly viewing what the Christian's race is all about. Paul says that we run as though we were in a race, not we run the race. It's being able to relate to one another. And, you know, the point that this eventually leads to is isolationism. That's the place we finally reach if we avoid this, because if we view this as competition, as a race, that's the only possible outcome. We end up by ourselves. The characteristic of this type, the fact that they don't listen. They don't listen to feelings, they don't listen to needs, they don't listen to meanings. And the scripture for this will give them, give one scripture on each. Matthew 5:22. But I say to you that everyone who is angry with his brother shall be liable to judgment. Whoever insults his brother shall be liable to the council. So it's an attitude of, that's the attitude, that's the communication trait we find. The attitude of being angry, of anger, and has no place in the house of God. Next we have the Q2 traits. The theme there is to keep quiet. Let's not commit ourselves. You know, let's not rock the boat. But, you know, quietness and providing for our own needs and providing for others' needs can't be, because a Christian cannot really, an effective Christian can't be a quiet person. They've got to commit themselves to something. They can't just ride the waves. A lot of nominal Christians fall into this category because they lack a real zeal for their personal standing as it relates to the truth. And the characteristic of this type is that they really have no direction. A scripture here, Luke 11:33-36. No one, after lighting a lamp, puts it in a cellar or under a bushel, but on a stand, that those who enter may see the light. Your eye is the lamp of your body. When your eye is sound, your whole body is full of light. But when it is not sound, your body is full of darkness. Therefore be careful, lest the light in you be darkness. Then your whole body is full of light, having no part dark. It will be wholly bright, as when a lamp with its rays gives you light. Next, the Q3. Q3 traits, and the theme there is to stay happy. Compromise. Let's be friends and let's get along. And they can really exist in any kind of environment. Person with this kind of communication traits. But you know, nothing will be done to improve that environment, which is really what it's all about. Compromising and giving in to everyone's wants, everyone's wishes, will finally lead to a stunted development in the foundation that we built ourselves on. And we feel that getting the Lord's approval perhaps is accomplished by getting everyone else's approval, which is not really true. We've developed, or a person might have developed, this concern for others, but they really don't use that concern to help them progress. They just use it to get along. The characteristic there is perhaps careless or reckless. In a scripture we could apply there, Romans 12:11. Never flag in zeal, be aglow with the Spirit, and serve the Lord. Finally, the Q4, the ideal traits. What's the theme here? The theme here is to explore. Let's seek the best result for everyone. We're all in this together. Let's provide a direction to assure that everyone is cared for. Let's be zealous enough to assure that the people we love are properly directed. Note the contrast with this, with the other traits. In each case, they've taken these and formed them into something better. The characteristic here, and the most important characteristic we can have, is to listen. We listen not just what other people say, but we listen to what they feel. The scripture here, two scriptures we want to give. First scripture is James 3, 2 and 13. For we all make many mistakes, and if anyone makes no mistakes in what he says, he is a perfect man, able to bridle the whole body also. Who is wise and understanding among you? By his good life let him show his works in the meekness of wisdom. Revelation 14:5. And in their mouth no lie was found, for they are spotless. This is the accomplished Christian. The Christian that is able to overcome, finally develop, have to develop these communication traits to relate with himself, with the Lord, and to relate himself with others in the body of Christ. So, conclusions we can draw is that self-development really is not the whole purpose of the Christian life. Our job is not really to be a self-contained person. The church is going to administrate. And our relation with other people is important, for the purpose of that is self-development. Jesus wasn't concerned with himself, mainly. But he was concerned with how he related to others. If he was able to spread his zeal into other people. So our purpose is to achieve a goal. Remember that. Our goal is to be overcomers, be able to overcome the world, and be able to completely sacrifice ourselves in service. And we do that through service to others. So our love for God is shown through our love for the brother, as James said. So if we really fail to exhibit autonomy, as we defined it, we really miss the point of having 144,000 different people in the church. And in the end, it's those Q4 qualities that will assure that we have a place in the kingdom. And it will apply to both now for the church and to mankind in the millennium. So I hope, it's not meant to offend or to point out, any particular people as being that way. But, these are various communication traits. We want to make sure that we can look at them ourselves and see where we need development if we find ourselves falling into any one of these areas. This is the talk I said last time I was going to give, and it wasn't quite ready yet, so it's been about 6 months. So I thought, instead of falling into this category of procrastinating, I had better hurry up and do it. So I pray that give some input for ourselves of development, and hope the Lord will lead us all. Thanks for that hour. I guess I didn't need it.
Thank you, Brother. Thank you, Brother Land. We thank the Lord for your service. Shall we close with 114? 114. Let's send our love along with Lenny to the brethren in that home ecclesia.
We'll be going to Saginaw in 2 weeks.
Okay. And I'll have the privilege, the Lord willing, of serving at Jersey City next week. How many would like to send their love to Jersey City? Thank you. 114. We'll stand on the last verse and ask Lenny to dismiss us with a word of prayer.
Oh,
Father, we ask now that you would go with us and your Spirit might abide with all of us wherever we might go. Bless each and every one wherever they might be gathered. Through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.
Good study.